That's so cool. So cool. What great stories, what great testimonies of what they're encountering, how kids are encountering Jesus every Sunday. And I want to welcome you again. I know we had kids up here and there's a lot going on, but I want to welcome you again, especially welcome to our guests. I'm so glad you guys are here for this, especially this season in our church. This is a very exciting time to be a part of the Fountain. And we are in week two of a vision series called Imagine More. And it coincides with a campaign that we're launching on October 30th officially, that's really about moving away from being in a temporary church home here at Johns Creek Elementary. Although it's great and it's awesome to sit in blue chairs that are a little wobbly, but I'm kidding. I have to set those up sometimes so that, you know, we pull the wobblies out for you. But anyway, but it's about moving forward into what God has for us next. It's about really creating a home with a 24/7 presence, where we can reach more people more quickly, and we can see lives change forever because of Jesus. And so as we prepare to do that, and we talk about investing in a campaign, which is this is phase one of that overall vision, I want you to know that we're talking about something so much more than brick and mortar. Hallelujah, amen, right? We're talking about something so much bigger than land and buildings. We're talking about people. We're talking about what Jesus wants to do in people's lives, what Jesus has already done. And as we stand on the platform of what Jesus has already done, we look forward with expectation, with the realization that Jesus wants us to imagine more, because he wants to do more in our church and more in our lives and more in this community, even more. And we, you know, one of the things we say here every single Sunday is our vision. This is a part of who we are. We're here to lead people to life, hope, purpose, and wholeness through Jesus Christ. You hear me say that every single week. But let me put some legs on it for you this morning, even more than just a purpose statement that we hear and then we go home and say, what in the world is that about? Have you ever noticed that it's not in alphabetical order? Life kind of doesn't go first in the alphabet. You know, it's life, hope, purpose, and wholeness. It's because in order to experience hope, in order to experience purpose in your life, in order to experience Jesus taking people who are broken and making them whole, it starts with the very life of God being given to us. It starts with Jesus having to do something in our lives. And through that life, that's not just life, that just biological life, but the life that God gives us, like the fountain of living water, Jesus pours into us and enables us to have hope in our lives. It enables us to have purpose that's bigger than just going to work and going home and, you know, doing a few things in our life. And it allows us, all of us, an opportunity to be whole, to be the people that God created us to be. But it starts with the life of God. And this is something that people have experienced over and over and over since this church started. People have experienced life. They've experienced Jesus do something in their life. And so I want you to know, though, that this campaign is really about enabling us to do what's already happening with more excellence, with more effectiveness, and with even more of a real presence, a 24/7 presence in this community where more people can hear about Jesus and can respond to his love. You know, one of the things that you think about with a 24/7 presence, one of the things that happens, we're so grateful to get to worship here in the school. In fact, the school loves us here, and we love them, and we're going to continue serving this school and even more. But one of the things that we find is we set up on Sunday morning. Those that are on setup team can say either amen or ouch, right? Depending on if you did it this morning. And then we break down right after church. And then effectively for our community, it looks like the church went away, even though we're meeting in groups and all these things. A 24/7 presence. Imagine how many people God wants to reach by being fully present in this community. That's what this is about. And I want you to know that if this is your first time hearing about some of this, or if you weren't here with us last week, I want you to know on the onset to be reminded of something we've been talking about since May, is that this is not just a fundraising event, you know? This is not just a financial initiative. It's also, maybe more importantly, a spiritual journey where we believe that if you lean in and if you participate, that God is going to speak to you in a very real way. That God is going to work in your life to grow your love and to grow your trust in Jesus like you never experienced before. In fact, you may remember last week, one of the things that I said is that in order for our faith to grow, it needs something to push against. And so God uses seasons like this, even in our church and in our lives, to push against our faith so that God can grow us to where he wants us to be. And so I want you to know that God is wanting to do all that. And so one of the things we're doing, I already told you about right before we have Commitment Sunday, where people make their pledges for this campaign. Wow. We're going to be covering that in prayer because it's all about God. Because we can raise some money, we can build a facility, but if the Spirit of God isn't in it, then none of it matters. We need God to do a work in our lives. And so for 24 hours, we're going to be covering what God's called us to do as a church in prayer. And I want to encourage you to be part of it. If you want to know what it looks like to follow God, you know, one of the scriptures we're going to read today is the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength. Peter Gregg once said, if you want to know what it looks like to love the Lord with everything you've got, 3 a.m. He said, it's with all your heart because you don't have anything else going on then. So if you really, you know, if you want to be a part of that, you can sign up for the late night times and stuff like that. It's with all your heart. But anyway, so we're going to be doing that. We're also, last Sunday, we started a 21-day prayer journey. And we want you to be part of this with us. We're in day 8 of the prayer journey. And we really gave this prayer guide out. And it's online as well in your program. You can reference that under the Imagine More link. But what it's designed to do is to help you to go on a journey with God. To pray about what God wants to do in this church. To pray about what God wants to do in this community. And to pray about what how God wants you to respond and what God wants to do in your life even through this. And so I want to encourage you to be part of that. Some of you, I see you got your blue bracelets on. Way to go. We got these, I was going to say fancy, but I'll just say rubber bracelets. Imagine More bracelets. And I was wearing mine this week. The reason you're given this is not just a cool, you know, some cool swag. We wanted to give this to you so that as you go out into your week, hopefully you don't get in trouble by your boss or whatever by wearing something like this. But I want to encourage you to wear it because I was driving around this week and I was reminded, even while I was driving somewhere, of, oh, imagine more. God wants to do something more in our church and in our lives. And I started just praying for it. And so it'll be a reminder to you to be praying, to go on a spiritual journey with God. Because more than anything else, I don't want us to miss Jesus in this. And so I want to encourage you to do that. And I want you to also save the date for October 30th, Sunday, October 30th. During worship is going to be Commitment Sunday. It's really Celebration Sunday when all of us will have the opportunity to really give, to make a pledge to this 3-year campaign. And we haven't done pledge cards or anything like that before as a church, so it's kind of like weird. You know, it's like, am I signing my life away? What is this about? I want you to know that this is something that we just really believe that as we pray and as we ask God, how do you want us to participate in this? That God's going to speak to you. He's already spoken to me and Mandy, and I'll share more about that with you guys in the coming weeks. But I'm excited about what God's going to do in and through that. It's going to be a powerful day, October 30th, so save the date. But more importantly, be praying, and make sure you don't miss it. And the thing that I'm excited about is we talk about a campaign a lot of times, especially in church world, when you start talking about money, people get funny, right? And this is the interesting thing, is that I'm more excited. Like, yes, I'm excited about what God's going to do. And I'm excited about the number Mandy and I are going to write down. I'm excited about all those things, but I'm more excited about what Jesus is going to do in all of our lives. Because I truly believe that God is going to come through. We're going to see God show up in ways that we could never even imagine. And so our theme verse for the series is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And we memorized it back in March as a church. But let me read it for you. The Apostle Paul writes this amazing truth. He says, now to him, that's Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more. Let's say more together. More than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Now here's what this means. It means, dream about the wildest, craziest things that you could ever imagine Jesus doing in this community. Think about and dream about the wildest things you could ever imagine for your neighbors and for your friends and for your life and for this church. And what this is saying is that Jesus wants to blow our mind. Jesus is powerful enough to blow our mind of everything that we could ever dream about, the impact that he could do. Jesus wants to blow our mind and he wants to do immeasurably more. And so this is what we're really talking about. And today, what I want to do is I want to talk with you about another aspect, an exciting aspect of really what this Imagine More vision is about. And it's about legacy. Not something that we think about very much. What's the legacy that's going to be that we leave behind? But it's also about the next generation. So I want you to imagine together leaving a legacy for the next generation. Imagine leaving a legacy for the next generation. See, we're not just creating a church home for ourselves. It's also for the generations that are going to come after us. Just like I told the kids, hey, I want you to know we're doing this for you too. So it's us. It's for us, but it's also for the next generations. It's about creating a place for them to gather and to worship. It's about creating a place for the next generation to experience Jesus, a place for them to experience community like you have experienced, and a place for even them to be sent out into the world to serve Jesus in mission in so many different ways. And so we're doing this all for us, but it's also all for them. So it's even bigger than that. And so investing in the next generation has always been a big part of our vision. It really has. In fact, so many of you, the story of how you got here to the Fountain, many families came because, hey, my kids loved it here. And if my kids are good, then I'm good. You know, a lot of times that's been the story of so many people. But it's a huge aspect. It's a big part of who we are. But if I were to be honest, if we were to zoom out at the Church Universal, I would say that this is one aspect of the Church Universal that's sometimes missing in church world today, leaving a legacy for the next generation. I was a youth minister for a while, and I remember being a teenager and being a kid and knowing how much it meant to me. But I remember going into youth ministry and realizing that so many times, in order to do certain kinds of ministry and have an impact, we were asking teenagers to like go have a garage sale or go do some kind of car wash, which you never, you know, raise any funds with a car wash. You just make people mad, right? But anyway, because their car's messed up after that. So, but anyway, I remember like we were asked to do stuff like that to help make them raise money for their ministries. And I remember thinking like, what would it be like if we stopped fighting the next generation and we figured a way to pour into them and to fund what they're called to do? And so this is one of the things that when I became a lead pastor, this is a big part of like, I felt like this is who God's called us to be, to pour into the next generation. Because so many times in the church world today, so many times we look at our lives and what we tend to focus on is only what's happening in our lives and in our generation. And so many times we don't think about the next generation and the opportunity that we have to leave a legacy even beyond us. And you know, this is something that's very close to the heart of God. In fact, if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures today, but Exodus chapter 3 is the first one. And in Exodus chapter 3, second book of the Bible, God is coming to this man named Moses. And Moses, who you heard about, one of the favorite stories of one of our kids, Moses is, the people of Israel were living as slaves in Egypt. And God comes to Moses, and he's about to call Moses. He's saying, Moses, I want to use you, and I want you to be the leader that's going to lead my people out of slavery, and I'm going to lead them into the land that I promised all the way back to Abraham. And so the story goes, God speaks to Moses through a burning bush. Now, for most of us, we could say, oh, yeah, the burning bush story. But if you just put this into today's context, let's just imagine we're walking through the woods, and all of a sudden there's a bush on fire. You know, most of us, what we would do is we would call 911. There's a fire. Let's get this out. This is a big deal. But Moses sees this, and something draws him to this bush. So he walks closer to the bush. And out of this bush, he realizes that this bush is still very much alive. Although it's on fire, it's not being consumed. And so he's fascinated by this, almost like this light that God had created. And out of that, the Lord speaks to Moses from behind a burning bush. And he says, Moses, Moses. See, God knows our names. He wants to use us. And Moses says to God, Lord, here I am. And out of that, I want you to check out how God identifies himself to Moses in a passage that might be familiar to you, may not. But here's what the Lord says, Exodus chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. He says to Moses, do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Now, it's not holy because the ground is holy. It's holy because of what the presence of the Lord is about to do at that place. And so then he said, the Lord said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. He realized, whoa, the God of all those ancestors is here with me. Now, it's interesting because did you notice how God introduces himself? God introduces himself by listing Moses' ancestors in the faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This was the very first three generations of all of Israel. And so it's interesting because it's like, this is your family lineage and I'm your God too. I was thinking about this week, trying to make it more real to us and real to me. And I remember thinking, if God were to say that same thing to me, what would God say? Thinking about generationally. I think God would say something like this: I am the God of Ray and Foster and your father David, and I'm also your God. I was like thinking through that, and I was like getting a little teary-eyed, thinking about my grandfathers who have passed away, who are with the Lord, but the legacy that God left in their life and how God was the same back then and he's the same today and he's the same forever. He's the God of all generations. And it was one of those things where maybe you can think about your life and your family lineage and think about how God would say to you, you're the God of this person and this person and this person. But I think there's significance for Moses and what he's sharing, these three people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because Abraham was the man who God promised that through Abraham that all the nations of the earth were going to be blessed. He says, Abraham, I'm going to give you descendants as numerous as the stars. But God, we're too old to have kids, and I don't even have a kid. How are we going to have descendants as numerous as the stars? But God, how are you going to do this? And in the middle of that, when he saw an obstacle, when he saw something that couldn't be done, God says, no, I'm promising to do that. And I'm going to lead you to a land, your descendants to a land that's flowing with milk and honey, a land that I'm promising to give them. Okay, God, he didn't know how it was going to happen. Well, then he says, I'm the God of Isaac. And Isaac was Abraham's first son, the child of promise. He was his first biological son, the child of promise. And this son, Isaac was the son that God brought into the world against all biological order. It was almost like, you know, Abraham and Sarah were way too old to have kids. They were like way up there, you know. And biologically, it made no sense. Could not happen. No way, God. I don't care what you say. I don't care how crazy, you know, this is the craziest thing. And Sarah, Abraham's wife, when she heard the news, she laughed. You know, there's a lot of things in life where God calls us to do something that's laughable, and we laugh at God, and we're like, yeah. Yeah, right, that'll never, ever, ever, ever happen. And God has a way of saying, what you think is laughable, I want to come through, and I want to show you who I am and what I can do. And so when Isaac is born, it was like this proof to Abraham and proof to all of Israel that God is a God who is faithful to his promises. He came through when it didn't make sense. And then he says that I'm the God of Jacob. And Jacob was the guy that had 12 sons, and all 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. So this was a big deal. But he also says something interesting at the beginning. Not only Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and wow, these amazing people in the faith. He also says to Moses, I'm the God of your father. Anybody know who Moses' father is? Anybody ever heard of him before? I had to look this up. I had no clue who Moses' father is. Like, who is he? What does he matter, you know? Like, but his name was Amram. Anybody ever heard of Amram? You can name your child Amram if you want to. But this was a guy who doesn't have this huge legacy of faith in the scripture. But we know from Moses' life the legacy that he carried on, this legacy of faith that he passed on to his son. And so why would God care to identify himself like that with generations? It's because God doesn't just think about one generation when he thinks about impact. My generation. When God looks at the world and the impact he wants to have, it's bigger than that. God is a God that thinks generationally about the impact that can happen throughout all generations. And certainly if that's the case, then God is really, really passionate about future generations, next generations. And I think since that's true, I think God wants us to think generationally too about the impact that we can have by investing in the next generation. Now, let me put some legs on this for you, because I was thinking about this this week. And I have to tell you, man, I was getting emotional thinking about a lot of this stuff this week, legacy. Because I was realizing my family, my parents, left a huge legacy of faith in my life. And it didn't start with them, though. It started with even my grandparents before that. They loved God. They followed God. And they trained my parents up, and they showed them Jesus and who showed me Jesus. And there's huge lineage of faith. But I was thinking even beyond family. And I was realizing that every single time somebody sees me in my life and sees me in my faith, that I am standing on broad shoulders of so many people who went before me who invested in my life every Sunday, who poured into me and my faith, and it's why I am the way I am today. And so I was just thinking about this. Like people, for me, I realized that one of the people that sticks out to me, the very first person is, the very first people is Nashi and Ruby. Nashi and Ruby. Now, nobody knows who Nashi and Ruby is. They were these dear old saints of the Lord. That they were my, the volunteers that served with me in the nursery at church where I grew up. I remember them. Now, they probably were with me longer than like just a baby, but I remember Nashi and Ruby. And I remember, of course, I don't remember the diaper changes, thanks be to God, and all that stuff, the way they loved me even with that. But I do remember Nashi and Ruby and the way that they loved me by just always like trying to help me in so many ways. But I especially remember the butter cookies that were round that could fit on your finger. And I just remembered like, you know, I knew that there must be a God as I ate those things. And he is good and he must love me, you know. I remember those butter cookies from Nashi and Ruby. And it's one of those things, these dear saints of the Lord, they have definitely with Jesus at this point. But the thing is, they probably thought as they went to volunteer each Sunday, there were probably times they probably thought, well, I'm just watching some babies. I'm just wiping some butts, you know, whatever it is. I'm just giving some butter cookies. But I remember Nashi and Ruby because they were the first people where I experienced God's love beyond what I experienced in my family. Legacy. I think about people like Janet and Clyde Cawthon. Janet and Clyde Cawthon they directed our kids' choir. And as we sang songs like your kids sang up here, I remember the legacy. And there's so many songs that like even today will come to my mind of just this legacy of faith that they left on me. They love Jesus. They taught me so many different songs. In fact, let me share one with you that came to mind this week. It's one you may not have heard of, but it's about how great God's love is for us. And it goes like this. Apple red happiness, apple red happiness, popcorn cheerfulness, cinnamon singing inside. We did that, you know. And then we said peppermint energy, gumdrop holiday, when you give Christ your life. And so we talked about what it's like and how Jesus gives you joy when he comes to your life. And I remember that. I remember that today, you know. But anyway, I think of numerous kids ministry volunteers who impacted me. People like Lori Willing, who taught me VBS and all sorts of scriptures and songs of faith. And I especially remember the countless youth volunteers, our youth counselors, who poured into me every single Sunday. We would have youth group every single Sunday night, and they would miss football. I've realized now in hindsight, they would miss football in order to pour into probably a bunch of jerk kids at the time that acted like we didn't want to be there at the time. But they poured into us every single Sunday. And I remember especially people like Greg Arthur, who was one of our youth counselors. And Greg Arthur, every single Sunday, I get a text from him every single Sunday saying that, Andy, I want to remind you that you're loved. I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for the fountain. I got one this morning as we were getting ready. Every single Sunday, I get one. Legacy. I think of people like Patty Maloney, who's now with Jesus, but the impact she made in my life. I think of so many people who played crazy games with us, and we had serious talks, and we had times where they would just invest in us in a way where Jesus became more than just something that was on the page, but Jesus became real to me. He became real, and it showed me that we can have fun as we follow Jesus. And I want you to just think about, these are some of the people in my life, but think about your life. Think about the people who have made an impact in your life and your faith. All of us are standing on broad shoulders of people that went before us. And you may say, well, I didn't grow up in church and I don't have much of a legacy of faith. And even if that's true, the people who are impacting you were impacted by so many other people. You are standing on broad shoulders of people who invested in the next generation. And all of us have stories that we can tell of people who helped us to discover Jesus. See, when you invest in the faith of the next generation, it's always a legacy that's going to outlive you. In fact, when we make decisions today as a church and as individuals to invest in the next generation, then even after we're gone, generations later, there will be people who will stand up and will say your name. And they'll tell the story of the impact that you made in their lives. Well, I'm just watching babies. I'm just taking care of this. You never know the legacy that you're leaving for the next generation just by your presence and by loving people the way Jesus first loved us. That's why what we do at church every single week, it matters for teenagers and for kids. It matters. This is why what we do in this campaign is so important, because it's not just about you and it's not just about me. It's about kids that you saw singing up here just a little bit ago. It's about impacting the next generation and then the next generation after that. It's a legacy that will outlive us. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 6 is another scripture we're going to look at. And it's a time when the Lord commanded us that I want you to impact the next generation. I want you to pass on your faith to the next generation. And we could just read it and go home and all that. But I want to tell you the context, because I think the context is super powerful. Because here's what happened. This same guy, Moses, flash forward in his life after the burning bush, after, you know, God had freed the people from slavery in Egypt by miraculously parting the waters and allowing them to walk forward into their freedom. They found themselves in the wilderness on the way to the promised land. And in the wilderness, every single day, even though it was hard, God sustained them. God provided for them. God fed them, even when it didn't make sense. But even after God had been so faithful and doing so much in their lives, the people, check this out, the people of God, they grumbled and they complained. They grumbled and they complained to God and to Moses. And they ended up saying, some of them even said, after everything God had done, they ended up saying, well, I wish we could just go back to slavery in Egypt. It was so much better back then when God was providing for them every single day. And as they grumbled and as they complained and as their lack of faith in God to lead them into the promised land, I don't want you to miss this. The next generation was watching. They were watching them. They were watching how they lived their lives. And they saw, the next generation saw, the lack of faith in their parents. They saw the lack of trust in God. They saw their mediocrity towards God. And so God let this people in the first generation, he let them continue to wander in the desert for 40 more years. In other words, okay, fine, you don't want to trust me, you can walk around the desert even more. But thankfully, because of God and his grace, after these first generation, they blew it. God in his grace, he loves us so much that God reached out and he gave the next generation after them an opportunity to rewrite that story, to walk with faith, if you will, into the promised land that God promised to give them. And this time when they did, when they got that opportunity, the next generation, they marched forward with all their heart, trusting God, walking into the land that he promised. And so Moses is going to give this word. Moses is about to pass away. He's about to give these words in Deuteronomy 6 to the next generation. And he's saying to them, I don't want you guys to miss this because your parents missed it. They missed the opportunity, and I don't want you to miss this. And he gives them these words about passing on faith and leading the next generation toward God. Here's what it says, Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. It says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them, see generational language, may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And so I want you to notice that Moses is saying, this is the word from the Lord. It's so important that we invest in the next generation. It's so important that we do everything that we can to go even beyond us. And so here's what I think this means for us. And this is the bottom line for today. It's this. Our highest priority should be giving Jesus to the next generation. Our highest priority should be giving Jesus to the next generation. And Moses tells us, hey, here's two ways that we do that. Number one, relationship. And number two, repetition. Relationship and repetition. In other words, Moses is saying, it starts with you and your faith. Loving the Lord your God, it starts with your faith. So many times as parents, we say, well, do as I say, not as I do. And sometimes we do faith like that too. See, the truth is, it starts with our life. It starts with us being filled up, because you can't pour out what's not already filled up in you. We have to start by loving God with all of our heart, because the next generation is watching. They're watching how we follow God and how we live in faith, and they're going to take their cue from us. But it also, the second thing he says is essentially repetition. We pass it on through repetition. He says things like, impress these words on your children. Talk about them as you walk along. Write them down for them. And it's almost like he's saying, I want you to repeat and repeat and repeat the story of God for your kids, because I want them to know who I am and what I've done, because I'm the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Because the truth is, faith is not just taught, it's also caught. They learn it from us. And so that's why what we do each week at the Fountain matters. And I want you to know that there is a limited window, statistically, there's a limited window that all of us have to impact the lives of people. And the window, percentage-wise, goes down tremendously on reaching people for the gospel after a child graduates from high school. Doesn't mean that it's not, God can't do it, but the best time to reach people is when they're kids and when they're teenagers. And I heard Reggie Joyner teach about this one time, and he was talking about the importance of investing in the next generation and the importance of taking advantage as parents and as a church to do that every single week. And he used marbles to illustrate it. And let me show it for you. He demonstrated it like this, where he said that from the time a child is born until the time they graduate from high school, that there's about 936 weekends, about 936 Sundays that we have to invest in the next generation. Now, that's kind of a lot. You know, that's kind of cool. And then we get on to this, and he said, well, you know, when a child gets into elementary school, when they go to kindergarten, when they get into kindergarten, from the time they're in kindergarten to the time they graduate, there's 676 weekends, 676 Sundays. And these are exact, baby. We counted them and everything. Each marble represents a different day, 676. And then when a child gets in middle school, when they go to sixth grade, all the way to when they graduate, there's 364 Sundays that we have to make an investment to pour into their lives. 364. And then when a child finally enters ninth grade, there's 208 Sundays that we have, opportunities that we have to make an impact before they graduate from high school. And so he talked about it like this. He said, you know, that just means that parenting and investing in the next generation as volunteers is kind of like losing our marbles, you know? You know that as well if you're a parent. Man, you lose your marbles a lot, right? You feel like that when you're serving sometimes, but it's losing your marbles. But it's really a bigger truth than that. It's that when we see the time that we have left, we tend to do more with the time that we have now. When we see the time that we have left, we tend to do more with the time that we have now. In fact, that's what Psalm 90, verse 12 says. It says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What's wisdom for us? Wisdom for us as a church is that we got to take advantage of those opportunities. That we got to pour everything that we've got every single Sunday into helping kids to grow closer to Jesus. And I love that about our church, that we're a church that's reaching the next generation. I mean, one of the things that happened, so we had 300 kids for Extreme Games that they heard about Jesus all throughout the community. We had countless, we had a lot of volunteers, 70 volunteers, but countless teenagers that were part of it too. I love that there's a whole lot that's happening for teenagers here in youth ministry at the Fountain now. I love that every Sunday at 9:30, they have an opportunity to be discipled in refresh groups that is designed just for them. We had an awesome Fountain Youth Night where they got to worship together. This happened once a month. There's so many things that are happening for them. But I also love that our teenagers are not just pushed to the side and doing the serving things that nobody else wants to do. That they're invited at the Fountain to serve in significant ways, in ways that are impacting lives. In fact, if you're a teenager today, I want you to know that if you serve with kids or anybody under you, that you are also impacting the next generation. Pretty cool. And so, but I also love that one of the stories that we hear all the time with kids is that so many times kids come in and they experience the Fountain Kids Ministry, and they end up coming back, dragging sometimes their unchurched parents back to church or dragging their friends to church because they want them to experience Jesus as well. And the thing is, I want you to imagine with all of this, I want you to imagine more. See, this campaign is about creating a church home for them with a 24/7 presence, where more ministry can happen, where more impact can happen, where more kids can be reached and more lives changed. And so I want to invite you to be praying about how God might be calling you to be a part of this campaign, not out of obligation. This is an obligation. This is an opportunity. It's an invitation for all of us. Because what we do in this campaign can impact, and it will impact, not just our generation, but generations to come. And it's not about equal giving. It's about equal sacrifice. So the question we have to ask as a church is, what are we willing to do as a church to pass on faith to the next generation? And what are we willing to do individually to sacrifice in our lives so that we can invest in them? Because it's worth it. It's a legacy that'll go even beyond us. You know, the truth is Moses, just like Moses realized, the next generation, and even right now, is watching us. They're watching our faith. They're watching how we live and how, and the faith in which we step up and step into what God is calling us to do. And they're going to take their cue from us. And so I just want you to imagine how we can leave a legacy even now for the next generation, something that's going to go well beyond us. We're going to close by singing this song, Your Love Endures Forever. And it really comes from a scripture that the Lord would speak, that the people would speak over the Lord whenever God would come through. God would deliver his people, or God would do something in their life, and they would say this phrase, Your love endures forever. Your love endures forever. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. So as we think about that, let's pray. Let's ask God to do just that. God, thank you so much for the truth of your word and for this awesome opportunity to invest and to impact the next generation. God, I pray that all of us in here would not feel a sense of obligation as we look into what you're calling us to do next with this Imagine More initiative. But God, we would see an incredible opportunity to do what we already feel called to do in our hearts, to impact the next generation. And so God, I just pray that you would pour into all of us, and you would help us, God. You would help us to begin praying and discerning how you want us to take steps forward into what you're calling us to do. God, I pray that you would do so much more than just financially in this church. But God, you would start to do something in our lives. And you would help us to realize that even as we do that, that you're working to impact the next generation. So God, I pray that you would have your way with us as we sing this song, as we continue worshiping. I pray that you would work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.